I've got on the screen, Heal My Land, and this is from a very familiar passage to most of us. We've been in church very long, of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. But I want to apply it to us today, because this verse is specifically talking about Solomon, the children of Israel, and a promise for them. But I want to cross over into how this applies to us now, because it still does apply to our lives right now. We did a little bit of shopping, me and Melanie and Jamie, a little bit of shopping Friday evening. Church, I don't know about y'all. I tell you what, God has been kind of drawing me spiritually back to a more intimate place with Him again. And you may think, well, you're our pastor. Shouldn't you be there anyway? Yeah, should be. But I want to be honest with you. We go through daily routines, life, work, family, money problems, stuff, stress. And we just go through the motions sometimes and don't really spend maybe that intimate time with God we need to spend with Him. And we need to have our spiritual antennas really in tune right now, what's happening. We went shopping and we were out of town for a few hours, and I don't know, we went to some stores, and there was a couple of stores that, I mean, me and Melanie had to actually walk out of just because the music that was playing. And it's like I felt spirits in those stores. You know, I felt them. And I couldn't, we're going to walk out. We had to leave the store. We're in a generation and a time of where there is such a rebellious, do it my way mentality with no regard to what God thinks. Church, we can say all we want. I believe in myself. I believe in nature. I believe in Mother Earth. I believe in this. I believe that it's my ability. I believe it's my talent. But church, we are fools if we think there is no God. And if we believe that we can live a life actually unaccountable of Him. We are accountable to a Creator. He created us. He made us. And He formed us. And I could not live one day without His presence. I couldn't even imagine going one day, because I know when I get in those distant, cold places spiritually, and I get there too, those dry places where I say, God, I've not felt you the way I want to feel you. Where you been? It's never where He's been. It's where I've not been. And that's with Him, spending time in His presence. We can go through the worldly motions, and I'm going to tell you, people are not wanting to hear that. I'm finding this to be truer, I think. The most hated profession probably is cops. And I think the second most hated is pastors. Because people are not wanting to hear the truth and let God speak to them. Because we interfere with their lifestyle. But there is no right lifestyle that's going to produce anything right in our lives apart from surrendering to God's will for our lives. We should want God's will. We should desire, God, I want to feel you again. I want to experience you again. I'm tired of being in this dry place. I know times have changed. I mean, I know we don't see tents out in fields anymore. And I know we don't hear old-time preaching like we used to. We're such a modern-day era. But man, the Holy Ghost is still alive and still real and still all we need to draw people into the Lord. Still is all we need is the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, my home church has a really neat concept. Got made fun of a lot, you know, from people in the area. But my home church has a prayer tower that they built out the road. It's a place you just go and pray. It's open all the time to the public. Got winding stairs, you go up, kind of like an upper room thing, and you go up and just pray. And I rode up one day last week and spent some time up there because I felt like I needed to go back to my roots. I felt God draw me back to my roots. And I feel like I just needed to go and reflect and spend time and get out of this junky world. I don't know about y'all, church. You may love the world you live in. I don't. I don't love this world. I love God. And I love the earth He created. And I love the beauty He, you know, the sunsets and the nature and the things He gave us. But I don't love what I'm feeling right now. And I'm feeling such a coldness and a hardness and a darkness and a rebellion. And church, if you can't feel that, wake up. wake up and pray and seek the face of God again, because we have things hitting our homes and our children and our families and even our own minds. Even the seasoned Christian grow cold. Even the one that used to just dance and praise God and be so close to God can still grow cold if we don't spend time in His presence. This world has nothing to give us. I want nothing. It has nothing to offer me that I want. I want God again. I want to feel Him again. I want to see His expression again upon on His people and on His body. I want to see the moving of His Holy Spirit. That's not died. Don't let any church or preacher tell you that's died. We're not in a new age. We're in the same age we've always been. The age of grace and the age of the Holy Ghost. We're still in the same age. People can change it not to feel uncomfortable, but it doesn't mean it's not real. There's still a moving and a breathing and a blowing of the power of God upon this land, and I want it again. I don't want to go dry no more. I'm tired of being dry. Are y'all tired of being dry? We're going to get made fun of, church. I understand that. I mean, people have left this church because of our spirituality. I don't care. People have left the church because y'all talking them tongues or y'all fall on the floor. Who cares? Y'all fall on the floor drunk on Saturday night. Give me drunk in the Holy Spirit and let it change my life. That's what counts. People call me, what do you believe in? What do you believe in this? Yeah, well, I don't really believe in that. And y'all tell them, we're just sitting in church for you then. So I tell them, it ain't church for you. If you want to go somewhere that, you know, that's fine. You want to go somewhere where it's cookie cutter and programmed and there's no moving and you feel comfortable and nobody will ever step on your toes, that's the church for you. We're not that church. We're a church that's a light in darkness. Not a condemning church, but a light. A light. There has to be a difference, church. I got thinking last night over here. I said, Lord, everybody that comes here knows this is a church. It's not a bar. It's not a club. It's not a social place. It's not a library or a school or a grocery store. This is a church. Everybody that comes in here knows they're walking into a church. This is what it's for. So people walk in here, they're walking in by choice that I'm coming into a church. So what's my job? To teach the word and to preach Jesus. Not preach another Jesus or not preach and to dodge the name of Jesus, because that's what we stand for. We stand for Jesus. He is Lord. He is King. He is King of all. There is no other way to salvation but through what He did. That's what we preach. That's what we stand on. And that's what I will not ever apologize for. That's what we believe in. And I believe in a living God, not a dead God. So if I believe in a living God, what does that mean? That God lives through me. And that God can move me, God can change me, God can touch me, and God can heal me, and God can deliver me, and God can set my chains free. God has every key to every chain I've allowed the devil to put on my life through all these years, and He does you too. Because whether we realize it or not, church, we are carrying chains in our lives. This is the time of year we see the movie Scrooge. You know, I like the original classic Scrooge, the old black and white one, not the modern day junk. And you remember when he's in that living room heating up his little soup and he has that vision of his partner, Marley. And Marley comes in. Ebenezer. Clank. Clank. Ebenezer. What are all them chains on you, man? What is that? What is that, Marley? These are the chains of my life that I weaved myself link by link. And now I'm trapped in these chains forever. Change, Ebenezer. Has a very spiritual tone, that part does. Change, Ebenezer, so you don't follow my path, so you don't come my way. You still got a chance. You still got time. Church, we still have time to tell people about Jesus. We still have time to let them know you don't have to carry those chains anymore, but God can release you of those chains and break those strongholds and set your mind and your heart free. We serve a God who is alive. Call it old-fashioned, call it back then preaching, but I call it a living, moving, breathing God who still is, who always will be, and who changes not. I am still the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the same God of Peter, Paul, and John. I change not. And He changes not for us either. He is still our God. Believe in that and receive that. But I'm burdened by this generation. I'm burdened. You know, I've got two teenage kids, and I look at what they're facing. I look at their generation, and I'm trying to relate. You know, we're shopping for Jamie. We're in his store, and I'm sitting beside his other dad, and he's got a 14-year-old in there shopping, and he's about my age, look like. And I said, man, I said, you got somebody here shopping? He goes, yeah. And the clothes now, I don't get. Morgan, I'm sorry, I don't get the generation. I'm trying to connect. I really am. And he's in here, and Jamie said, I want those pants. I said, I'm not buying. You go pay your own. I'm not buying those pants. There ain't no way I'm buying those pants. And he was very respectful. Of course, he didn't buy them either. That's what I thought. So I'm sitting beside this dad, and I said, you got a son shopping here? I got a son, 14-year-old. I said, man, are you having a problem relating to this, your son's generation? Are you having an issue? He goes, major. I said, I am too. I don't get it. I don't get the music. I know we're getting old. I don't get the music. I don't get the. I think back to my parents' day, because I know Dad didn't get me as a father. You know, I had a little bit of long hair, and I wore, you know, the clothes of my generation, and had a Firebird with tinted windows and mag wheels and a big boom box and boom, boom, boom. You know, I mean, Dad grew up with no radio. Here I am, boom, boom, boom. You know, and playing all that, you know, MC Hammer music and, you know, Hammer Time. Dun, dun, dun. You can hear me coming a mile down the road. And I look back now and thought, I'll bet my dad thought I was a complete idiot. And like, oh, my gosh. You know, I'm like, I'll be a cool dad. I'll be able to relate. Well, I've lost it. I'm not cool anymore because I cannot relate. I can't relate to pants here. I can't relate to, I just can't relate. I can't relate to all the tat and all over everybody's, or, I mean, it's just like a piece of art. Can I hang you on a wall or put you to bed? What do you want me to do? I don't get it. I just can't relate, and I'm trying. I really am. You know, there's more piercings than there are body parts now. I'm like, I don't get it. You pierced what? Really? Okay. I don't understand it. And I'm trying to relate. I really am. And I'm finding myself that I can't, that I don't really want to relate. I want to relate to God. I'm not saying any of those things are sin or hell thing. Don't nobody get it. Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I just can't relate. And as I find myself seeing this generation gravitating in that direction, I find myself gravitating more toward God and wanting more of Him. More of Him. Because I used to be cool. I'm a young dad. I'm still a young dad. And, you know, I want to be cool to my kids and you know, relate and understand. But I've crossed that point, and I'm not ashamed of it, and I'm proud to say I'm detached. So I guess I'm old. I guess that's a sign you're old, when you detach your kids' generation. But I love them. It's their thing. But as I see this, and as at the mall, we're shopping, as I look at the young people in general, there's just a rebellion, it seems like. Just such a rebellion that I don't like. Such a rejection, because there's so many more messages now that they're hearing from the internet mainly. All these different philosophies and all the different things and all these different people talking to their lives. But there's only one voice that we really should be listening to, and that's the voice of God. He's the only one that really matters, church. He's the only one that matters is the voice of God. All the other voices just confuse us and cloud our mind and cloud our thoughts. And that's why I want to get away last week and just have a few hours of reflection and just kind of, you know, spiritually detoxing, so to speak. Just, okay, I got to get this off of me. I want to hear from you again, God. I just need a breath of fresh air blown in my life, because I don't like what I'm feeling. I don't like what I'm seeing. And so why I'm saying this is not for discouraging purposes, but to understand what season we're in. It's time we sound the alarm and intercede and pray, not only for our families, but for ourselves, that our hearts guarded from all this junk that's trying to come in our generation. I mean, we got parents now involved with what their kids do. I mean, talking about bad things. I'm like, really? You're the parent. And you're doing bad things with your kids? Come on. Come on. You're the parent. You're supposed to set the example for your seed, not the other way around. And so, but what's happened is we've allowed that spirit to come into our lives. And we got to guard against that. And this is what I want to read in Chronicles, if you go to the verse, Jeremy. This is a very familiar verse to most of us. And I understand I'm not teaching this out of context. This is speaking to Solomon. He had built the temple. God had promised the children of Israel a certain promise. It's to them. But I want to take this and apply it to us today, because it does apply still today. Verse 13, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. It's a very powerful verse. You may be thinking, well, how does that apply to me? He's talking to the children of Israel. It was thousands of years ago. Let's break this down. It's got four parts to this I want to break down this morning. Go to the next slide. First one, it says humble ourselves. What does this mean? Surrendering our will to His. That's what it means. Surrendering. I spelled that wrong. That's a typo. I'm sorry. Surrendering out. Surrendering our will to His. So before we can hear from God or do anything God wants, we got to first surrender to Him. How many of us are not surrendering to the will of God? I mean really surrendering. We say, God, I love you, I'm saved, I go to church, I believe in you. But we're not surrendering our lives to Him to live that way. Because if we fail to surrender our lives to God, then we allow the world to come in. We got two choices. You live for God or you live for the devil. And sometimes it's both. Sometimes we cross the line. We're living for God on Monday, the devil on Tuesday. If we surrender our will to God and humble ourselves, says, God, do me what you will. I want to live for you, God, not the world and not what man says. I want to live for you. The world is knocking on your door hard, and there's not much good we're seeing in the public world. You know, Melanie makes fun of me, and I know I don't know. She makes fun of me. I watch some of the same stuff on TV. I record stuff, and I watch a lot of the older shows. And the reason I do is I don't like what I see on TV now. It's full of junk. I don't want to watch something that half the episode's going boop, 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 boop. I mean, really? Why would I want to watch that? I don't want to be watching stuff going about Ashley walking in the room and seeing me watch. So I like the older stuff because it's clean. That's a concept, ain't it? Clean. We don't want to be clean no more. We'll be left alone. Just leave me alone. Church, I want to be clean. And I'm not always clean. I mean, Chuck gave a good testimony this morning and shared some of his past, and we've all got a past, and I'm not always clean. I've not always been clean. But I desire to be clean. And so I watch those shows. You know why? They bring me comfort. They bring me back to, I don't know, a time of when it was. You know, I bought the season one of Gilligan's Island. Everybody remembers Gilligan's Island, right? Goofy show. And I got Ashley hooked on it. She wants to buy season two and three. We watched all the episodes together. And, you know, just I love Gilligan's Island. You know, just you almost want to be shipwrecked with them. Especially Marianne. you want to be shipwrecked with them. Like, man. You know, just living a life of, you know, I mean, that's Melanie's perfect world. Tropical island, rest of her life. Not what Gilligan, she said, yeah. But, you know, I bought the Wild Wild West, not the one that Will Smith's in. The original Wild Wild West with Robert Conrad, Artemis Gordon, you know, whatever his name is. But anyway, I've got season one of that, and I watch those. And I know I'm young to be watching old stuff, but I don't like the junk that's I hear. I don't like the music of today because of all the messages that are in it that are laced throughout the songs. And so if we humble ourselves to God's will, that's the first step. God, I humble myself to you. We're in a world of not people wanting to humble themselves. We're in an anti-authority generation, church. Anti-authority. Teachers, cops, preachers, parents, anti-authority. Don't want to be told what to do. Of course you don't. But you know what? There's authority throughout our lives that we have to honor. And the main one's God. He is the supreme authority. So we must humble ourselves to His will. Second step of this verse, it says to pray. What is prayer? Talk to God. Sounds simple, don't it? How much are we talking to God? I mean, really? Are we spending any time talking to God? Or is it a blessing at breakfast, a blessing at lunch, a blessing at dinner, and good night, and, you know, lay me down to sleep, pray my Lord a soul to keep if I die before I wake. Is that our extent of our prayer life? You know, or are we just praying when, you know, it's convenient? Are we praying in a crisis? Or are we really talking to God? We need as Christians to begin to talk to God again because we're hearing all this stuff in the world. We're hearing it. I already see my future as a pastor. I can already feel and see what is coming of the darkness, of the rebellion, of the resistance. And that's why I'm going back to the roots God saved me with, operating in His power, not my own, but the power of His Holy Spirit. That's the only thing that's going to break the yoke of bondage. The Bible says it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's not good words. It's not smooth words. A lot of people have smooth, silky words. They mesmerize you. You can even win a national election if you talk right. We've seen that, right? Smooth words. Smooth. Hope and change. I'm bringing it. The only hope and change is through Jesus Christ. That's the only hope and change. It doesn't matter how skilled someone talks. It's the power of God in them that the demons are scared of. I'm telling you something. You didn't even talk. You can cast out demons without even talking in English. Or without even talking at all sometimes. Just let God just intercede and do it. We don't need to be skilled. We need to just talk to God and build that relationship back up again. Fellowshipping with God. Too much junk, too much pressure, too much stress, too much stuff gets in our way to distract us from spending that time with God and talking with Him. Too much world. I mean, we have 500 channels on TV. We got worldwide internet. We got electronics, you know, everywhere in every hand, every foot, every ear. I mean, we're one walking electronic piece. It is absolutely, it's been a demise, I think, of quality of life. I know when Jamie went on that Western trip for 23 days, they couldn't take cell phones. And he almost backed out because he couldn't take a cell phone. I said, man, you go give up 23 days on a Western trip because you can't take a cell phone. So, of course, he left it and he went. He come back, you know what he said? He goes, you know what? I'm so glad to have my cell phone. Because I'd have been buried in it the whole time. I would have missed out on so much. So they were right telling us to leave our cell phones back. We miss out on so much buried right here. Buried. Let's look at God again. I spent Thanksgiving with my parents Thursday. Mom cooked, and I really appreciate that. And she'd cook a lot more if she wanted to. That'd be great. And it's not got to be a holiday. But we went to her house, and me and Dad and Jamie went out in the woods and walked down to this pond and just kind of, we was talking and stuff and just spending time, you know, with the family, you know. And it was so wonderful. It was so refreshing to have that quality time, you know, of just being together as a family in the same house. Just eating, talking, fellowshipping. No big hurrah. Didn't even turn on the TV. I didn't. The girls went in and watched TV, but I didn't watch any football there. I just spent time with my parents and me and Mally, and it was wonderful. And I think about that's what's important is those kind of times. That's what's important is that quality of life. You know, Mally said the other day, she said, you know, I really feel like we was born out of the wrong generation. You ever feel that way? You feel like you're in the wrong generation? I'm like, God, why am I here right now? And all this darkness and all this junk. I mean, I feel like I couldn't be more opposite what the world's trying to promote than what I am. I feel like I couldn't be two more opposite people, me and the world, of what they're trying to promote. Not that I'm all that good. I'm not. And don't think I don't use stuff of the world. I do. I have a television. I have internet. I have a cell phone. Yes, 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 yes. But all the stuff that comes with that to draw us away, taking time from talking to God. If we spend as much time talking to God as we spent talking on Facebook, where would our lives be? Or texting. Here's the thing, especially for our younger people. Every time you text somebody, talk to God. Wow. You wouldn't stop. You wouldn't have no oxygen, right? So every time you send a text, you know what? Okay, text. I got to talk to God. God, I love you. God, I really do love you. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. I mean, just think about that. If we talk to God as much as we text everybody else. But we've lost that. We've lost that because of distractions. Go to the next one. Third part of this prayer. This is very important. Seeking His face. This is not just, God, I need you. And man, if you're there, if you're real, God. I'm talking about seeking His face. Seeking His face like a drug addict would seek a drug. That relates it pretty good, don't it? Or like an alcoholic would seek a drink. Or a sex addict would seek a porn site. Seek His face. Seeking is a verb that means we go after it. We aggressively do something to attain it. seeking his face. Why is that important? Because when we seek his face, then that's when we hear from God. That's what seeking his face means, spending time hearing. We pray to talk to God, then we seek his face to hear from God. We talk to God, then we hear from God. We talk to God, then we hear from God. But a lot of times we don't want to hear from God. We want to talk to God, but not really hear from him. Or when he does speak, I don't like that answer, God. Speak something different. I don't like what you're telling me to do here. I don't like the direction you're pulling me. I want a different answer, God. Different answer. Like the old joke I've told several times where the guy's on a cliff hanging by his little fingertips. Big old 100-foot drop. He's hanging right there. And he's hollering. He's a mountain climber. The rope has slipped. He's hanging on a cliff, you know. He hollers, God, if you're up there, if you're really real, save me. The guy said, and God spoke back and says, okay, you trust me? Yes. If you're up there and real, save me. So God said, okay, let go. The guy said, is there anybody else up there? We don't want to hear from God sometimes. We block them out. But man, it's the only way to go. And the more the world I'm seeing, the less that I like it, and the more hungry I am for the things of God, the more hungry I become for his kingdom and for his ways, the more hungry, the more my appetite's whetted for those things I really desire to be fulfilled in me. God, I want to feel the power and presence of God in my everyday life. I want to walk in that joy and that peace again. We let the devil steal that. That's been our Marley chains. Stole our joy, stole our peace, stole our happiness, stole our vision, stole our goals. We live every day in misery, not enjoying what God's given us today. We've let the devil link us to those chains. And how many years we've wasted because of it. Let's hear from God. Seek his face. How do I seek God's face? You talk to God. You spend time in his word. You spend a long time and quiet time. And just not saying anything. Just letting God speak to you. Getting a place. Each one of us ought to have somewhere we can go. It could be in your home or just somewhere, a place we have where we can go pray. Now, I'm very fortunate to have a whole church. But y'all have to find your own place to go. Y'all can come pray here if you want to. But find a place where you can go and be quiet with God. Think about the things we've accepted through the years. Think about the things we've accepted as being okay. Words we use that we never used 30 years ago. Things we watch on TV we never would have watched 30 years ago. All of us. Music we would never listen to that we listen to now. The way we dress, that we wouldn't, just everything that we just accepted, because that's how the world goes. But if we're following God's will, we won't go that way. We'll stay in God's will. I want God's will for my life and for my family's life. I want my land healed. My heart, my mind, my emotions. I want to keep that protected from the world, because the world wants to destroy you. Now, church, people call it old-fashioned, but I will say a word that you may not hear in a lot of churches, okay? I hope you're ready for this. But I do believe there's a hell. I believe that. We don't like talking about it because it's not popular. And it makes poor Minnie, just an example. We know she's a child of God. But Minnie don't like hearing about hell. So she sits there. I'm not coming back to this church. I'll go to where they don't talk about hell. Fine. Thank the church for you. I mean, my job is to preach and teach the hell out of people, right? That's my job as a pastor. Is to show people, look, if you're lost and you die that way, you're going to be lost. And the only reason we're lost, and I get so sick of the argument, and maybe you're here today and you made it. Maybe you'll get mad if I say this. I get so sick of the argument about loving God you preach, Pastor. And all these preachers about loving, gracious God. He sends somebody to hell. Why would I serve a God like that? Look, God doesn't send anybody to hell. We, by our own rebellion and rejection of God, we make our choice. It's that simple. If there's a hot stove up here and the burner's on, and Maverick's walking up here and D says, don't touch that stove or you're going to get burned. And Mav goes up there and gives that little cute grin and wave and sneaky thing and he touches it. Mama, why didn't you stop me? You're my mama. You should have let me get burned. Why would my mommy let me get hurt? Because I told you not to touch it, and you didn't listen. We have a generation that doesn't want to listen. They just keep touching and touching. I'm okay. Leave me alone. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. I mean, you know, everything's okay. Everything's legal. Everything's morally right. As long as I don't feel guilty, it's cool. As long as I don't feel bad, leave me alone. And we're paying a price for that in this nation. And we're paying a price in our home. And we're paying a price in our own spiritual walk. God does not send anybody to hell. He gently calls us. He's made himself very known to us. Even the guy that you were talking about, that had about the nature guy, you know, believes in nature. Well, I believe in nature too. But it just didn't happen. Nature's not a God. There's no power in nature apart from the Creator, which is God. He made nature. And so we see God in everything. The skies and the stars and the animal world, we see the hand of God that created all things. There is no excuse for man not to at least question, there's got to be something bigger than me. I mean, really? There's got to be something bigger than me. But when we rebel against God, we then reap that seed that we have sown. God didn't do it. We chose not to listen. And we have a generation with their ears shut, not wanting to listen. There's a hardness. Church, there's a hardness. I don't know if y'all can feel this. I don't think it's a pastor thing. I think it's a Christian thing. There's a hardness that's sweeping across people's hearts that don't want to hear the things of God. They want to be pumped up. Like the old Saturday night skit, Hans and Franz. If you're in my generation, you remember Hans and Franz. We are here to pump you up. Franz, Hans, pump you up. Well, I'm here to pump you up too. Pump you out of hell and into the kingdom of God. That's my job, is to present the word of God. We love great messages. We love messages, you know. Oh, Carol's so wonderful and nothing wrong with her life. And God loves you just like you are. Just keep living it and one day you'll see his face. Hallelujah. Go fornicate and get smashed and profane and blaspheme his name. But it's okay because God is love. Yeah, he's love. He's love. But he's also a judge. The Bible's clear on that. And we can't escape. Church, we can't escape it in the next realm. You may get by all day long here on the earth, but you will not escape it the next place. You won't escape it if you don't give your life to him. Seek his face. The last part of this. This is what's hard. Turn from our ways means follow his way. Turn from our ways. That's what's hard. We like our way. It gives us pleasure. We make a lot of excuses, including me. It's my outlet. It's my stress reliever. It's my thing. You know, I got a lot going on, and if it brings a little bit of pleasure, what's the harm? What's the big deal? If I'm doing this or acting this way, or you just don't understand, you don't have my life, and da da da. But all these are lies from the enemy to get us trapped. Church, they get us trapped. Yes, I know we need outlets. We need stress relievers, but not in the things of the devil. Those only bring us harm. We need to turn to God. He's our strength. He's our hope. He's our source. God is who we should be turning to. You know, it never fails. It never fails. When people begin to go through hardships and stress, they stop coming to church. I don't understand that. Well, I do. It's the enemy trying to get them out. But that's the very place we should be running to. I need help. I need hope. I need change. Is the church available for me? Yes, that's why we're here. People should be running to the church for help. It's the only place that's going to bring the remedy to their lives that they need. Is in the house of God. This is a house of God. It's a hospital for the sick. It's a place to get band-aided and first aid kit and CPR'd back and resuscitated and renewed and broken bones fixed and broken lives changed. This is what it's about. The local church is what it should always be about, bringing healing to the sick. Anything else, we're playing games. And church, I'm not about playing games. I'd walk away tomorrow if all I was going to do was play church and play games. I played games at my grandma's house with stuffed animals and a banana. That was playing games. I'm not here to play games or go through motions. I want to see lives really changed. People born again. Chains broken. Addictions broken. I want to see demons flee. I was thinking the other day, I was talking to God, and I said, Lord, I said, you healed a demonic man in that graveyard who was bound by chains, and you walked up and you cast those devils out of him. You're the same God that can still deliver and set free every demonic possessed person. You don't hear a lot about that in church either, do you? Demonic spirits and getting cast out. Ooh, that's West Virginia handling snake handling stuff. What makes you think would cause an adult to rape a child? If it's not a demon. What do you think would cause someone to cold blood just murder somebody with no remorse? What causes all kinds of nasty, ugly, dirty talk and language and all the junk that we see exhibited in the world? What would cause that if it wasn't demon-driven? It is demon-driven. Because we allow spirits. They're all around us. And that's why we had to get out of those stores. I just didn't feel. I didn't like what I felt in there. And there's other people in their shopping, other adults, other regular-looking people like me and Melanie, you know, that are in there shopping. And I just like, Melanie said, I looked at her, she said, you want to get out here? I said, yeah, let's just get out. Let's get out of the store. We have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and not justify it's okay because I like it. Does God like it? You know, Mom told me growing up as a kid, whenever I was thinking about, you know, if I was out there and stuff, if I was going to do something to hurt myself, or if I was doing something to put myself in danger or anything wrong, you know, picture her face looking at me. Picture these eyes. That's a hard image to get out of your head, your mama's eyes. And she told me that. I want to tell you that. Think about God's watching. He's watching all of us. There's nothing that he doesn't see or hear or know. And we could pretend it doesn't exist. We could pretend we're okay. We could pretend we got it under control. But we don't have it under control. If you can't stop what you are doing, you do not have control anymore. It's that simple. If you can't stop what you're doing, whether it's a bad habit, whether it's an addiction, whether it's a lifestyle, if you can't stop it, you can't control it. And if you don't want to stop it, that's a different scenario. If you have no desire to stop what you're doing, that's where people need to be praying for you. That God puts that in your heart to want to stop. To give your life to him and surrender your will. And our land needs to be healed. I'm talking about our natural land. I'm talking about us individuals need to be healed. We've been through so much. We've been through so much. As Chuck said, I mean, you know, Chuck has shared a lot of his story before of the things he's been through and the path he has traveled. And to see him singing for the Lord and to see him broken by the Lord, it's a beautiful thing, Chuck. It's beautiful, man. To see how God can take a life that's running and reel him in. Say, run no more. We can run all we want. We can pretend we're okay. And I know it's in some deep message this morning, church. I know it's this is not a deep message at all. But it's a message that needs to be sounded. As I went back to my home church, back to my roots, I began to think about all the times I'd felt God's presence there and all the times God had answered my prayers. And, you know, there's a lot good that happened to me at that place. I was saved there and baptized there, baptized the Holy Ghost there. I was ordained as a minister there. I was married there. Had all three of my children dedicated there. A lot of roots there. And during those years, I could feel the presence of God in my life so strong. And it's not just, it's every church. It's every church now. It's just the culture. I mean, church, you got to come here expecting something every Sunday. You got to come expecting something. You can't just roll in and be entertained. I'm not about entertaining. We try to do things a little different sometimes. I'm not traditional. I'm not cookie cutter. We don't have a program. So I do flow with the Spirit. So we're different. But I'm not here to entertain. I'm here to preach the gospel. I'm here for people that are sick to become well, people that are lost to be saved, people that are broken to be restored. That's what we're here for. That cross on our steeple that faces Jennings Road is there for a reason. We want to be a light in the darkness of this generation. And I just don't want to play games. I just don't want to pretend and go through the motions. And, you know, I remember going to my home church and expecting and couldn't wait to hear the word and couldn't wait to be in the presence and couldn't wait the music started and, you know, ready to roll. I mean, man, we don't go to a country or rock concert the way we come to church. Walk into a stadium. Living on a prayer. Take my hand and we'll make it, I swear. Living on a prayer. Nah, man, we into it. We shaking everything on our potty. We throwing stuff on the stage. Now, don't do that, please. This is money. We don't. I mean, we wearing our Bon Jovi t-shirts or Def Leppard or, I can tell what generation I'm from, Guns N' Roses. We wearing our t-shirts and we're sporting it, and man, we're hollering and yelling until our voice is dry. We're screaming and we're into it. And we're, you know, we're jerking our head. Till you get whiplash. Man, we're expecting something. We're expecting to be rocked out that night. Man, I'm going to leave knowing I was rocked out tonight. Man, we ought to have that same passion for the house of God. Man, I'm going to see Jesus today. I'm going to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to go in expecting my need to be met and expecting to feel something from God today. Because the church is supposed to be alive. Because God is alive. And that's what I want, church. We're about to embark on a new year. We've got our New Year's Eve service coming up, you know, at the end of the last day of the month. And it's always a wonderful, wonderful time. And it's always a refreshing going into the next year. And I'm so excited about getting refreshed spiritually. And just laying down the garb and hearing from God again. Hearing from God. God speaks to us if we'll listen. He's not done talking. We read this Bible, and yes, this is His Word. But there's Word He speaks to us as well. People say, well, He don't speak no more. Everything's spoken here. No, He speaks to us. He speaks to us very clearly if we'll let Him. He speaks to our hearts, to our mind. He can even speak audibly to us if He so desires. He can speak to us any way He wants. And I believe He gives us signs. I believe He gives us things that speaks to us that we know is from Him. That's our thing from Him. Thank you, God, for showing me that. That's my thing. That's your thing to me. But we got to be attentive, and we got to be humble. And we got to humble ourselves to God again and not say, I don't need a God. I'll figure this out on my own. No, we won't. I mean, Chuck, you had no joy in your life on the path you were on, did you? I mean, there was no joy. There was no peace. Isn't it a lot better to give it to God and just... I know there's still battles and struggles. I realize that. But isn't it better that you're giving to God and at least, hey, God, I can't do it no more. Man, it's a lot better. I want you to picture this because I've said it before. Think about. You'll think about if you never could feel the presence of God ever again while you live on the earth. How lonely a place that would be. Wouldn't that be hard to know you would never feel His presence again, ever? You try and try, but couldn't feel it. What's happening to people in this generation, they're tuning God out to the point that they're not going to be able to feel Him. The Bible speaks of this in Romans 1. It's very clear that because when they knew God, they retained Him not in their knowledge. Therefore, God gave them up to a reprobate mind. It's not that God did anything. It's because when they wouldn't hear God, they sealed their own mind. It's like a rebellious child. If they don't listen to you, they're going to eventually seal their own fate. And they're going to eventually pay the price. You didn't do it for them. They refused to listen. We have a generation closing their ears, not wanting to hear the truth. Not wanting to hear. It's time, church, we humble ourselves again. Say, God, I need my land healed. I want to be sensitive again. Do you remember those services when you were younger? A lot of those old revival services, man, God be moving so strong. And, you know, the anointing was so thick in the room. And you even said before at the altar, you come up here before, and I guess you might be sharing this, but you come one, been a couple years ago, you come up here and I pray with you. Remember you told me, you said, man, I'm so glad I felt that. I said, I've not felt that in so long. And I was wondering, you know, worried I could feel that again. And I felt his anointing again. I don't know if you remember that or not, but you told me that. There's nothing like feeling his anointing. But if we keep being cold and keep being distant and keep refusing what he gives us, that's what we're going to be. It's cold and distant. Chuck, I love the tears, man. You're open with that, man. I think that's wonderful. And it's a great example for the men in the church that, hey, it's okay, man, to cry. And I cry quite a bit when it comes to the things of the Lord. I don't cry over a lot. But I do cry when it comes to spiritual things. I'll get with God, and there's sometimes I'll start weeping over here at church. I don't even know why I'm crying. I'll start weeping. And that's what we need, to be broken. To be broken. To say, God, I need you. I can't live without you. We let him heal your land today. You need to be healed. You need to be touched again, refreshed again. You've just been out of it. You've been over here somewhere. And the devil is very deceiving and very sneaky. And before you know it, you're in his world. You're trapped. Doesn't mean you're trapped forever, but you're trapped for now. That's why it says give no place to the devil. Don't give any place to him. No opportunity. And that all comes by these four things in this verse, that we humble ourselves, that we pray, that we seek his face, that we turn from our ways. Go to the next. I got one more verse here I want to show you. It's in Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord, that's what makes us rich. And it brings no sorrow. We can have all the money or possessions or houses or businesses or things we think are so important to us, cars and whatever. But there's sorrow that comes with that, apart from God. But if we have God and we let God bless our lives, there is no sorrow with that. You know, Melly said years ago, and I know she still believes this. Mom brought it up the other day, actually. But Melly said if we had to live in a cardboard box, she would start all over with me again. If that's all we have, the cardboard box. I've not spoiled her enough in 21 years that I don't think it's changed that opinion. That she would live in a cardboard box as long as she had me, she said. As long as I had you, I wouldn't need anything else. As long as we got God, we don't need anything else, church. We just need him. The world doesn't see that. We just need him. I think the world thinks we turn into some kind of religious zombies or something. You know, zombies are a big thing now. Some of the older folks may not know that. Zombie apocalypse and all that, you know. Zombie movies and zombie video games and zombies, you know. They're coming back, zombies. Shoops. Well, you know what? If you got God, you're going about zombies either. All we need is God. That's all we need. Chuck, come up here, will you? Just play a little something on guitar for me. Play a little something soft for me up here. The whole purpose of my message today, church, really comes down to this. We need to allow God to heal some things in our lives that we're carrying. And we can get so busy. Everyone of you here, most of you, work. Most of you have kids, families. You got a lot to put in your time during a week. If you're like me, you know, I work. I've got 3 kids. Well, 2.5. I've got those kids. I've got a wife. So, you know, we're all busy. I got to be a husband. I got to be a father. I got to be a pastor. And I got to be an individual. I got to be James. There's times James don't want to be a father, husband, or pastor. Just wants to be James. Not a husband, excuse me. Just James. But you know, we get caught in that cycle of rushing, doing so much that we put God off. We work till 5 or 6, then we come home, we eat dinner, spend a little time with our family, watch a little TV, shower, go to bed, same thing Tuesday, same thing Wednesday, same thing Thursday, same thing Friday. Then the weekends we're traveling or we're going somewhere, we're shopping, we're doing this. We need time for God again. I mean real time for God. To where we make that time for God. I mean, even plan it. I've got to have time for you, God. Because I make time for everything else. I got to make time for you. I want to be sensitive again to His Holy Spirit. I've not given up on those days of old church. I'm not saying we go back in time. I know seasons change. But there is still a season now of a moving of the Holy Spirit that's real. That's going to stand out from the world or from the church world. It's going to stand out. We can go through the motions and sing the old dry hymns and go through clapping our hands and go through coming and go through giving our offering, but leave not changed. We need to leave changed. Every time we come, we should leave changed. Man, I yearn for those days. Remember when you were innocent? Think back to when you were innocent. Just everybody, if you would, close your eyes just for a minute. I want you to picture this. Your eyes are closed. Think back to when your life was more innocent. When you wasn't involved in the things you're involved with now. You hadn't done the things you'd done now. And you just were innocent. The whole world revolved around just what was right, not what was wrong. It revolved around your parents or mom and dad or, you know, your friends at school when you were little. Just a time of innocence. A time when shows were clean and you didn't hear people out in public using all kinds of dirty language and you didn't see the things you see just publicly displayed now. And just an innocent time. Think back to that time of that innocent time. The time you go to church and you would so feel God. You'd feel His holy presence. You'd feel His Spirit in such a way it time didn't matter anymore. Just didn't matter anymore. You just didn't want to leave the place you were at because it was that good. That day has not passed away. God is still that good. His presence is still that strong. And we can still feel that clean again by His grace. But we can't keep carrying this stuff and pretending it doesn't exist. We got to come before Him and say, God, I need some junk removed out of my life. I need some stuff carried out and cleaned out. I need healing for my land, God. I don't like the way I feel. I don't like that I'm not as sensitive as I was, and I can't hear you like I could, and all I see is my sin. All I see is my weight. All I see is the junk. I used to always see you, God. You were my hero. God, you were everything. You were all I needed. I could call your name and I knew everything would be different, but now when I call your name, I wonder if you're even there anymore. I need my land healed, God. I need healed in my land. If that is you today, and you want time just to come, just for a minute, to the altar and say, God, heal my land. God, heal me. I want to open that up right now, just for a few minutes. If that is you this morning, come heal my land, God. I want to feel you again. I want to be restored again, God. I want to that sensitivity in my heart again for you. I want to be healed. I want to be healed. I want to be saved. Maybe you're not saved here today. I want to be saved. It's time. I've been playing too many games for too long. And I know my day is coming one day. And I know, God, I've heard the message. I've heard there's no excuse for me. There's some of you in here there's no excuse for. You've heard the word. But you must respond to receive. So is it today you'll respond? Say, I'm giving up, God. I'm giving up me and giving into you. Don't understand it all. But I know it's real, and I know your truth, and I give it up to you today. For any stronghold you have, anything you need lifted off, the altar is open. Just come talk to God. Humble yourself. That's the first step. You got to humble. That's the problem. We don't want to humble ourselves anymore. Too proud. Man, too proud to say, I need God. Too proud to say, I have a problem. Too proud to say, I need you, Lord. Humble ourselves, the first step. We humble. Then we pray. Talk to God. Then we listen to hear what God's got to say. And then we turn from our ways and we follow Him. If that's you today, come up and just talk to Him a minute. Got something to sing. Thank you, Jesus. Just be reverent for a few minutes. Let people respond to the Holy Spirit this morning. Ooh.
how sweet the sound.
Thank you, Jesus.
They say a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.
Talk to God, church. There's a lot more of you need to be talking to God this morning. You know you do. Come talk to Him. Come get some stuff off your chest this morning. Leave here knowing you're leaving different. That's what we're here for. We're not here for show. We're here for to get changed.
How sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me.
Consciously and purposely resisting that. Don't resist that. Give in to that. Just say, God, I'm not going to resist no more. Today is my day. Right now, in this moment, is my day. Trust Him. That voice you're hearing, that way you're feeling, that is the Holy Spirit trying to lead you to a brand new life. Trust it. Let Him lead you. It will be different when you let it happen. Your life will be different. It'll be so different. Obey Him today. It's your day. Call on your name.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost.
Thank you, Jesus.
But now,
thank God,
how I am found, was blind, but now.
Be patient, church. I don't extend these long. You know that. I'm very respectful of that. I'm not released yet to stop the service. When I'm released, I will. When I feel the Lord release me, I will stop the service.
Well, I ran through the storm. I was blinded by rain. I ran backwards uphill. through the torture and pain. Seems so easy to give it all to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I'm so scared. My hands are lifted to you. I can't run no more.
Can't run no more.
No, I can't run no more.
Aren't you tired of running? Aren't y'all tired of running?
God. Down on my knees.
Thank you, Jesus. Let them run to you this morning, God.
Sweet Lord, help me, please.
Let them run to you. Not away from you. Let them run to you.
I'm in your hands.
Jesus.
Let your light shine away. Can't run no more. This race is over today.
Will you let your race be over today? Will you let your race end today? Say, I'm going to run no more. I'm going to run to God. Running away has not helped me. Running away has only hurt me. But God, I'm going to run to you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust your call. I'm going to give you my life and really trust you that you can make things better for me. Take this pain away. Fear away, frustrations away, anger away, rebellion away. I'm tired of running, God. I keep ending up in the same places, the dead ends, the wrong places, the dark caves of my life. I'm tired of being in those places. God, I'm ready for deliverance. I'm ready for healing. I'm ready for wholeness. I'm ready for sanctification in my life. I'm ready, God, for things to be different. And it's only different because of you. You're the only thing that can make my life right. You're it. There's no other remedy. There's nothing I can take, nothing I can pop, nothing I can drink, nowhere I can go. You're it, God. The buck stops with you. You are my Savior, my salvation, my Redeemer, my Deliverer, my strong breaker. You are it. You what I need, God. Are you tired of running, church? This is your chance. I don't think you realize the opportunity you have here today, right now. This house of God that's here, and you're here in it. You're under the roof of this place right now. You're here, and God is drawing, and God is speaking. You're here. Take advantage of that while you're here. Take advantage while God is calling, while He's knocking, while He's speaking. There is hope for you today. There is help for you today. There is healing for you today. There's a chance for your life right now. God's given you a chance to live and not die. Live and not die. Be free and not bound. Be healed and not sick. Be joyful and not discouraged. This is your day right now. Will you trust Him with your life and come and say, Jesus, here I am. I'm tired of running. I give up and I give myself and all of my issues. I give them to you now, God. Are you there today? Is that you? Is that you? Come and let God touch you this morning. Sing it one more time, Chuck, that chorus. Thank you, Jesus.
Why'd you keep me around?
Why'd you keep me around?
I was gone long ago.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. My mind was so empty. This world had my soul. Now I'm singing for you. Your spirit fills my mind.
Thank you, Lord.
I can't let you down. It's just a day at a time. I can't run no more. No, I can't run no more. Down on my knees, sweet Lord, help me, please. I'm in your hands.
No better place to be in His hands.
Let your light shine the way.
Thank you, Jesus.
I can't run no more. race is over today.
Father, we thank you for your presence in this place, for what you have done. The word has been proclaimed in truth, and your spirit has been alive and well in this place. God, I pray that for the hearts that didn't receive, for the ears that didn't want to hear, that you remind them, God, your grace is still available. And you love them so much. They wouldn't be here if you didn't love them. They wouldn't be in this place if you hadn't drawn them. They're here for a reason. They're here for a purpose. You are the only way, God. You're our only peace and our only hope. And I thank you for visiting us here today, for the lives that have been touched, that our spirits have been changed. Thank you, God, for this special, special service you have given us today. We give you praise in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.